So let's open in prayer and head on over to Luke chapter 2 if you guys got your Bibles. I hope that you do. I know that you got your cell phones, but that's second best. We want to have the actual Bible. So I just think you need it. I mean, we're doing so much stuff on our cell phones, right? Checking the bank accounts, checking Facebook, Instagram, Likey, Twitter, all of that stuff. You know, we need something that's just straight up the Bible, okay? And so you can mark it up and take notes in yours. All right, let's pray and get into it. Lord, we love you. In the name of Jesus, open my eyes. Lead us through the text. God, give us peace about everything that's going on in our world. There's so much chaos and uncertainty. We started 2020 off rough, Lord, as a nation and in the world and all the things that are happening. And Father, we just pray in your name that, God, there'd be peace, Lord, that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And use us, Lord, to bring that. Lord, give us wisdom in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Guy's message last week was on point. Do you guys remember it? Anna and Simeon, two older couple, waiting for the Messiah to come, the liberator of Israel. And it said day and night that Anna was in the temple and she was praying, worshiping, fasting as she was waiting on the Lord. And I really liked what Guy was teaching about, because there was a point there about that when it comes to us, when we're waiting on the Lord to show up. Anybody? Anybody? Oh, he comes on time for you. So for most of us, though, we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting for God to show up, and it just seems like he's taken forever. But you know what Anna did? She worshiped while she waited. And that's a word for us, church. Listen, whenever you're waiting for God to show up and you've got anxiety and you're freaking out, this is what you need to do. Worship your way through it. Because you can do one or three things. You can freak out, blow things out of proportion in your head. You guys know how you do. It's not even a big deal until you start thinking about it. And then it's just like crazy. You could have something going on in your body. It's not even that big of a deal. And by the time you're done with WebMD, you got cancer and you're dead tomorrow. And so listen, you could totally freak out about it, or you can kind of freak out and kind of pray about it. Any of you guys do that? You're like, man, I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to pray. But then you pray and you still freak out. Or you could do what Anna did and worship your way through the wait. Worship your way through the worry. You know, Paul said it best in Philippians when he said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done, and the peace of God will guard your hearts. How about that? Why don't we, instead of worrying our way through it, we worship our way through it. How about that? And so Anna and Simeon, they've been waiting. Jesus shows up on the scene. And now we see in chapter 2, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, cool, Missy, that's great. So I'm going to just teach to you for a little bit. So in chapter 2 of Luke, check this out. This is Jesus showing up on the scene. And Luke chapter 2, and the only thing that we know about Jesus before he was what we consider Jesus, you know, the casting out demons, the walking on water, opening the eyes of the blind, opening the deaf ears of those who couldn't hear. Before that Jesus, we see the only picture of Jesus, who he was before he was doing all of that. And can I just tell you, it was pretty normal. I hate to be a spoiler alert, but you know what? Jesus just did ordinary things extraordinarily well. Jesus, he didn't come out speaking all kinds of different languages and knowing all kinds of different trades and all of this stuff. When Jesus came out, he was just pretty ordinary, like any one of us, before we see him step on the scene doing extraordinary things. I guess you could say Jesus did everyday normal things well before he did miraculous things later. And I wanted to ask you guys a question. How do you guys do with ordinary things on your day-to-day? Do you do them really well? Do you show up to work like you're going to jail? Do you clean your house and just throw everything in the closet? Do you kind of do the dishes? You know, in everyday things, we need to do them well, exceptionally well. if we're going to do greater things later. Didn't Jesus say, if you're faithful in little, you'll be faithful in much, but if you're unfaithful in little, come on, you'll be unfaithful with a lot. And that's why a lot of people don't have much more than what they got right now, is because they're not being faithful. If you've got a weak job that's whack that you don't like going to, you know what? Do the best that you can there. Hey, while you're there doing your time, you might as well do it well, amen? If you haven't won the sweeps yet and you got a little bit of cash in the bank, you know what you do? Be faithful with it. Be and honor God with your finances. And we got to remember that. If we don't have the best house in the world, at least we can keep the house that we got clean. And I know it's hard for some of you with all the babies, but check it out. Whatever we do, whatever we have, let's do it with the best that we can do it, right? No matter how big, let's do our best. How about that? How about that? Because we want God to increase it. So Jesus, he's going to step on the scene here in verse 39 and 40. And it says this. When Jesus' parents had fulfilled all the requirements of the law of the Lord, they returned to Nazareth in Galilee. And there, say it with me, there. It's important. There the child grew healthy and strong, and he was filled with wisdom of God, and the favor was on him. It says that Joseph and Mary, they go back to Nazareth. They go back to the hood. Do you guys remember about Nazareth? Nothing good in Nazareth. That's the place that you don't want to break down at. That's the place you don't want to get gas. Like, that's the place, if you got to stop anywhere, if you got to get transferred somewhere, it ain't going to be there. You don't want to move to Nazareth. Nazareth is gnarly. And I started talking to Mary about it, not in a real sense, but I have conversations with these people. Because if you don't talk to your Bible, it's not going to talk to you, amen. So I was talking to her about it. I said, why did you guys pick up and go to Nazareth when you were in Jerusalem, when you had the best schools, when you had malls with ice skating rings, when you had restaurants? Mary, this, what are you doing going back to Nazareth? Jesus is going to turn out whacked out. And you know what I saw there? Mary, even though she was a new parent, this is what she knew. It didn't matter where you raised your child. It mattered in whom you raised your child. Because what I'm trying to tell you is that you can live in the hood and it will still be good. You don't have to give your kids the best sneakers. You don't have to give them the best clothes. You don't have to put them in the best schools. You don't have to move them to the best cities and all of this. Guess what? You give them Jesus and they're going to turn out just fine. They're going to be able to handle getting punked at school. They're going to be just fine. These kids are going to be good. Because I'll tell you, I talk to parents all the time. They give their kids money for their cell phone. They pay all their bills, take them, do all this stuff for their kids, and their kids still turn out weird. And you know what I ask them? Did you give them Jesus? Man, you can be broke in the home and have prosperity in these kids' hearts. Man, give them the Lord, because it doesn't matter where you live. It matters who you're raising them up in. Man, Mary is so amazing. She knew that. She takes Jesus back. She goes back to gnarly Nazareth and with Jesus. I start thinking about with us and our parents how you guys are raising your children. Man, New Year's Eve was off the hook. And I was talking to Kenny, and we had all these kids here. And I said, man, I can't even believe I didn't think about inviting all the kids. I just assumed you all would get babysitters, because I didn't think, number one, you'd want to bring your kids to party, and number two, they wouldn't be able to handle it. But I'm going to tell you something. As a family affair, guess what happened? Those kids got busy. They were outdoing us, huh? I mean, we're starting out, and it's good, and you know, we're doing it, and these kids, they're going, and then we just kind of, you know, we're, it's like, and these kids are going off, and I was like, man, yes, and they were stoking me out, and I was thinking about you guys, and I was thinking, man, God bless you for partying with your kids on New Year's Eve, because I'll tell you what, there's been a few New Year's Eve where we weren't partying with nobody but ourselves, right? Waking up in jail, oh God, help us, Jesus. I was talking to Dave just now about driving on New Year's Eve and getting pulled over. in those days of going to jail. Like, you ain't got nothing wrong. You got a driver's license, insurance. You ain't got no warrants. But as soon as that cop car gets behind you, like, oh, God, I'm going to prison. They're going to get me now. For what? Nothing. You guys are good. God's changed your life. Amen. Let's give him praise. Man, God has changed your life. You're not going to jail. You're not going to jail no more. So they done take this boy, Jesus, and they go back to gnarly Nazareth. And it says that in verse 40, that Jesus, it says that the child grew up. So Ricky Bobby was wrong. You remember Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights, and he's all praying to baby Jesus, sweet baby Jesus, sweet baby Jesus. Well, guess what? Sweet baby Jesus grew up into a man. And that's a word for some of us, too. We need to grow up. We need to grow up. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, was it? He said, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, reason like a child, and act like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. You know what? We know some people that need to hear that word. It's time to grow up. You know, I go to Walmart and I'll see these people wearing this shirt, I don't want to adult today. Amen. I get that. I totally get it. I don't either. But you know what? Somebody's got to pay the bills. Somebody's got to keep the heat on. Somebody's got to put food in the fridge. Who doesn't? Who wants not to adult today? I don't want to adult today. But I got to. And in the same way, spiritually, man, as Christians, we fall into this rut where we're not growing spiritually. God wants us to put away childish things that are taking our time and our efforts, hanging around with stupid people that just exhaust us and pour no good into us. And then we wonder why we're bummed out all the time. It's because we've got stupid junk in our life, and God says, hey, listen, put it aside. And let's grow up. Jesus grew up. He grew up in physical strength. He grew up spiritually. He grew up mentally and in wisdom. And we need to do the same thing. So we can get around people. Check this out. We can get around people and we can offer them a word when they're going through something difficult. Instead of just saying, hey, I don't know, good luck. Or actually pray with somebody. Instead of say, I pray for you. You know what I pray for you means? That's the Christian default of you being a baby. Why would you sit there and tell somebody, I'm going to pray for you, when you can pray for them? I'm trying to talk about growing up. It was in Hebrews where it said, let us press on to perfection. Let's keep growing. Let's keep moving. Let's keep doing. Be mature in the Lord. That's why we teach the Bible the way we do and we go through it. We're looking at all kinds of stuff all the time. We want to grow up. And so it says Jesus grew up physically and in strength and in wisdom. And Mary, check out verse 41. I love this. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. That caught my eye because it said parents, meaning Jesus' earthly parents were together in being with Jesus and doing cool things in the church together. But what really caught my eye about it was that women didn't go to the Passover feast. Men did. In fact, they would go to Jerusalem three times a year, Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of the Booths. Passover was when they were celebrating the slain lamb and the blood over the doorpost where the angel of death saw the blood and passed over him. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ, our anointed Savior, our Redeemer, our intercessor. God sees the blood and we're saved. Thank you, Lord. And then at Pentecost, that was celebrating the grain offering for God's provision. And then the Feast of the Booths. You remember when they were out in the wilderness out of Egypt and they were walking around all crazy for 40 years? The Bible says that they made like cardboard houses and they lived in them and God provided for them. And so during the Feast of the Booths, they would go to Jerusalem and they would make up these little cardboard houses and live in them. Kind of crazy, huh? But they were celebrating Jesus and it says Mary went down with Joseph. Now, you know what surprised me about that is that here you got a woman who didn't need to go, but she went. And you know what that told me about Mary? That wherever God was being worshipped, that's where this girl wanted to be. She didn't make excuses not to show up. She made excuses to show up. And that's how I want to be. I want to be around people like that, that make excuses to get to church. They got shoes on their feet, so they say, I'm going to walk to church. They got gas in the car, and they're like, I'm going to drive myself. I got a reason. I got health in my body. I'm going to get to church. I'm not going to make excuses. Hey, pastor, I'm not going to make it. You don't need to send me a text. Check. Hey, you don't work for me. Did you know that? I'm not paying you for nothing. You don't have to text me. But what I would like to see is that for the church, instead of making excuses why they can't get here, to start making excuses why they need to get here. You know what? God's blessed you with somebody in your life that loves you. You know, he's blessed you with children. He's blessed you with health. He's blessed you as weak as we get sometimes and aches and pains. Guess what? You're still alive. And so if you're not dead, he's not done. So we got a lot to thank God for. So Mary's like looking for reasons to praise God. So she goes down with them down into Jerusalem in verse 42. It says, and when Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. And after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth. But Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, and his parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among other travelers. But when he didn't show up in the evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and their friends. So, and just like that, Jesus is 12 years old, and it's right about at this time, Jesus is bar mitzvahed. You guys know what bar mitzvah means? It means bar, son of. You remember Bar Jonas, and there was Bar Jesus? Bar means son of. And mitzvah means of the law. And so Jesus is becoming of that age to where he's hanging out with the men and he's learning more about the scriptures. And so they go out of Jerusalem, and after they were celebrating, and it says that they lost Jesus. Now you can't make this stuff up. I mean, this is good. I read that and I started thinking about, have you ever lost your kid? Do you know what that feels like? So Samantha, when she was little, I would tell her, I remember one time I said, now go into bed and take a nap. And she did. Now here's the thing that got me worried. It was really quiet in there. And you know, if you got kids, if they're in their bedroom and it's really quiet, it means two things. A, they're burning down the house. Or B, they're actually asleep. But how many of you guys know when it's quiet in there, there's something going on? There's like havoc going. You're going to go in there and that place is going to be on fire. They're going to be in paint, whatever, carpet thrashed. So I go in there to check on Samantha and she's not there. And I got Vicky and I said, Samantha's not in her bed. She said, what do you mean? I said, she's not in the bed. We go jamming around the house. We're outside yelling at the neighbors. We're yelling for Samantha. Samantha, where are you? We're everywhere. Looking in the washer, in the dryer, everywhere. Samantha, Samantha. I go in the bathroom. I open the cupboard below. And guess who's in there with this grin on her face? And I looked at her and I said, you get out of there right now. I was so mad because you're not happy to see your kid. You want to... I tried, get out of there. And I was all shaking and freaking out. She thought it was the funniest thing in the world. She never done it again. I'll tell you, she never did it again. But you guys ever had that feeling where you lost your kid? And so in the same way, Jesus, he's supposed to be with them, but he's not with them. And the reason why he was supposed to be with them is because women would walk ahead with the children because they walked slower. And the men would follow behind, texting, hanging out on their phone, talking about men's stuff, the game, all of this. And the women and children would go ahead. Now, Jesus is at that weird stage where his voice is starting to crack and he's got some pimples. He's a boy. So normally he'd be with the women, but now he should be with the men. And so Mary and Joseph lose him. Mary figures out at some point, where's Jesus? Where's the Lord? Where's Jesus? And so she finds Joseph. She goes back. She's like, where's Jesus? And Joseph's like, oh, you said you were going to take him. And then Mary's like, oh, no, I didn't. You said you had Jesus. He says, no. She goes, no, I remember you said you had Jesus. Now, you ain't got Jesus. And by the way, women, just close your ears up for a second. Close your ears up. So, fellas, you know women don't forget nothing, right? Right? I mean, they will call it out 1989 at 5 p.m. on a Thursday, and you're just like, okay. That's all you can say. It's just, okay, whatever you say, it's cool. Because Vicky, she does that. She doesn't get hysterical. She gets historical. That's Vicky. She gets crazy like that. She'll be whipping it all out. And then you start having these discussions that I like to call loud fellowship. Anybody? Oh, you guys don't have loud fellowship. The quiet ones are the ones who have it often. And so there's loud fellowship. And they're going back and forth. And they're just like, what is going on? We've had one job to do. One job to do. It was to watch Jesus. And we lost Jesus. And they're freaking out. Could you imagine that? You got one thing to do. Watch God. And you lose God. And so they go back. They're going to go back into Jerusalem in verse 45. And it says, when they couldn't find him no more, they went back to Jerusalem to search for Jesus there for 3 days. Later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious leaders, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard were amazed by his understanding and his answers. So Joseph and Mary, when they find out there's a problem, what they do is they go back to the last place they saw Jesus. They were celebrating. They were praising God there. It was great. They were doing worship. They knew the words. They didn't have to have PowerPoint on. They were playing all the Chris Tomlin songs that they all knew by heart. And then they leave, and they leave Jesus. I wonder how many times we celebrate the Lord, know all the songs, get into the Word, and then we leave church and we forget about Jesus. Where we leave the Lord, where we leave the Lord behind. You know, it's easy to do sometimes. You know, we'll praise God on Sunday, and then on Monday we go back to work, and then Thursday comes around and we're asking, is it Friday yet? We get irritable, panic attacks, anxiety. We start to get in this thing that I like to call the funk. You know what funk is? It's like something is wrong, but I don't know what. Have you guys ever felt that? It just feels weird. I don't know what, it's funky, it's like I can't see it, I know it, it's something is off. And Vicky and I will talk and we'll sit down, she'll say, you feel that? I say, I feel it too. And the first thing we ask is, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? What happened? Something happened because the peace is gone, the joy is gone, the expectation is gone. That sense of excitement and power is gone. Where's Jesus? And so Vicky and I, what we'll do is we'll sit down, we'll start looking at stuff. And it's not like we're wrapped up into some crazy sin. I'm just saying it can happen very easily where you're in church, you're praising God, you bail, and you got to live your life. And sometimes you don't take the Lord with you. And then you start getting in these ruts and you're like, something's wrong. And when that time happens, this is what you need to do. Do what Joseph and Mary did. When they sensed that something was wrong, they went back to the last place they saw Jesus. And for some of you, maybe that last place was when you were hanging out with Christians. You know, watching those Christian movies where the acting is horrible. But at least you were hanging out with them. You know what I mean? You don't have to have the best movie on and be in the best place as long as you got your Christian brothers and sisters with you praying over you. Maybe it was when you were giving more, serving more. Maybe you were praying more. Maybe you were worshiping more, and then you just leave and something happens and you just fall off. Listen, when you get weird and it gets funky, what we need to do is look at what they did and go back to the place that we left Jesus. And so when we do that, they go back, they find Jesus. The Word of God says in Psalms, I can't remember where, but you guys probably do. In the Psalms, God says, I love those who love me. And if you search for me, guess what? You will find me. You'll find him. So we want a church, we want to remember to go back to that place. And now they go back to Jerusalem. to find Jesus. And in verse 46, it says that when they found Jesus 3 days later, he was in the temple sitting amongst the religious leaders, listening and asking questions, and all who heard him were amazed by him. The religious leaders were there. Jesus is 12 years old. When it said religious leaders, oh man. This is for the Bible students. I'm going to give you a little something. So when Jesus was there and he was amongst the religious leaders at 12 years old, you know who would have been there? Nicodemus, Gamaliel, Paul's teacher, who he said of Paul, the only problem I have of the Apostle Paul is that I couldn't keep this boy in enough books. They would have been there. Jesus is reasoning with them like a 12-year-old talking to Einstein about physics and getting it. And they're going back and forth, and they're having discussions. And then later, I wonder, in John chapter 3, we see Nicodemus, the religious leader, coming to Jesus again and asking him about eternal life. Do you remember? And what did Jesus say? Unless you are born again, you will not be saved. And then he gives us John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life and would not perish. And I wonder at how Nicodemus received that. Later on, we know that he went and got the body of Jesus with Joseph of Arimathea. But Jesus is sitting there and he's reasoning with these guys at 12 years old, having discussions about the word of God. And so now, listen, as we're wrapping this up in verse 48, I got to tell you something. This is so cool. Jesus, look at what happens in 48. Man, I love the Bible. If you don't, leave. Check this out. This cracked me up. So not only do they lose Jesus, which is classic. And could you imagine Mary? She'd be like, are you going to write that? Yeah, I got to put that in there. They'll just be remembering it forever. So in verse 48, check this out. Jesus is in that atmosphere of hanging out with those guys that got initials at the end of their name. You know, PhD, blah, 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 blah. I don't care about any of that stuff. So he's sitting with them. I say that to say this because I do feel ornery about some of that, because sometimes you get these guys that go to seminary. We call it cemetery. And then they come out and they got all these degrees and they think they're somebody special. But you got to remember, it was the common man that Jesus was hanging out with, to where when they were hanging out with Jesus and they were away from him, they said, man, there's something up with these guys. They didn't go to school, but there's something about them. Oh yeah, they were with Jesus. So I'm gonna rock that way. So he said in verse 48, Jesus is amongst the leaders. Look at this, Mary shows up. And his parents didn't know what to think. So she said to Jesus, son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. Now listen, do you guys remember when you were kids and you were with your cool friends and your mom would roll up on you? Do you remember it? Maybe it was your dad. Now in school, I was cool. I'm not going to lie. I had some friends. And what we would do is, this is elementary. After I got into high school, I was a loser. But in elementary, like, you'd want to know me. And so we would go out. The cool thing to do was get your chocolate chip cookie and milk and then go out into the field and hang in little circles. And everybody knew what circle was the cool circle, right? Man, I kid you not. I was out at this circle and we're hanging out and I see this figure coming out in the distance, walking out to the field. And I started looking, and one of my friends said, Jason, is that your mom? No, that's not my mom. My mom wouldn't be showing up here. She knows better than that. And he's like, no, I think it's your mom. And I was looking, and I was like, dang it, that's my mom. And so she comes rolling up into our circle with a sack lunch. And she said, hey, fellas, what you all doing? Hey, I brought Jason. He forgot his sack lunch. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, this is not the time to do this. Like, you're rolling up on me and my homeboys, and you're bringing my sack lunch telling me that you love me. And you just sit there. What are you going to do? It's awkward. It's like you can't do nothing, right? Because you're pinned. Your mom's got you. And then she left, and I just felt really stupid. And so I started reading this, and Jesus is amongst his peers. I mean, he's 12 years old talking to the theologians, and here comes mom. What are you doing in here? Me and your father have been going crazy. But you know what Jesus said? He had to correct her. He's like, hey, listen, just about that father thing, mom, you better get that straight, because I am in my father's house. Play of words. Jesus setting it straight. Don't get it twisted, Mary. Remember where you're at. He says to her in verse 49, he says, why did you search for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? But it says they did not understand what he was talking about. Now I'm going to tell you guys something. I thought Mary handled it pretty good. To be honest with you. You lose your kid, you find him, and I'll tell you, if that was my mom, you know what she would have done? She would have started taking that shoe off. Some of you guys don't know what I'm talking about, but my mom, this right here, this thing, it wasn't just for keeping your feet safe. She would use this thing like crazy, and if I was anything, she'd take that shoe off, and she'd just start... Like, if you did it fast enough, you could almost see her name with her whipping that shoe around. And if there was anything in the way, come on, you guys know what I'm talking about? If there was anything in the way of that shoe, man, it was going to get boom, just like that. And I thought, I was like, man, Mary, you did pretty good on that, because if that was my mom, she would have just taken that boot off and sandal and gotten crazy on me. But she asked him, and what Jesus says to her, he's like, listen, check this out. What are you freaking out for? Don't you know that I was supposed to be in my father's house, in my father's house, about my father's business? Listen, we need to be about our father's business. Do you know how easy it is for me to go on Facebook and look at some of your guys' posts and want to jump in on that? This is what I do. You remember Dora? And she's like, what do? We swim. Just keep swimming, right? Just keep swimming. I look at some of your guys' posts, and there's a war going on. And you know what I tell myself? Just keep scrolling. Just keep scrolling. What do? I scroll. I got to keep going. Because if I look at your guys' stuff, I'm going to get caught up in like this crazy stuff of all your business. And I don't want to get caught up in your business. I shouldn't even be on Facebook anyways, to be honest with you. Pray for me. But here's the thing about it. How often are we getting in other people's business at the sake of the Father's business? And instead of loving and teaching and forgiving and being Christ to everybody, we're goofing off like this. Oh, I'm going to get in on that. You answer a fool according to his folly, and you'll become one. That's what the Word of God says. Just keep scrolling. Just keep scrolling. So anyways, we want to be about the Father's business. Worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. And so Jesus, in verse 50... In verse 50, it says, they did not understand what Jesus meant. They're like, this boy is on another level. I don't know. Verse 51, then he returned to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. And his mother stored all these things in her heart, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and favor with God and all the people. Jesus goes back with his family. It says that he was obedient to his mom and his dad, earthly father. He submitted to him. And immediately I was thinking about when I go into the store and I see these kids in shopping carts kicking their mom, hitting their mom, yelling at their mom, I want the candy, I want the candy. My mom, if I did that to my mom, she'd go, oh, you want the candy? Okay, we'll go get it. And she would take me by the belt aisle. Detour, I thought we were going candy, mom. Yeah, I'm going to give you something sweet. You better shut your mouth. And my first thought is kind of, if your kids do not respect you now, how are they going to do it later? They're just going to push you off like it just doesn't even matter. And if you got parents that are still alive, thank God for them. Honor them. It didn't say Jesus honored them because they were the best parents. They didn't mess up. They didn't, you know, hurt your feelings or whatever. It says, it didn't say any of that. It says he went back and he was obedient to his parents. And here's why. Because God's all about order. He's all about submission. The son submits to the father that the father would be glorified. There's an order of things. And when we honor that order of things, we glorify God. And so we want to make sure that we honor our parents. Not only that. Some of us don't have parents anymore, but we have them in the church. Do you remember what Jesus said? He says, if anybody loses mother or father or field or business for my sake and that of the gospel, he will receive 100 times more in this life and the life to come. Do you all remember that verse? Well, how are you going to have 100 moms? How are you going to have 100 dads? I'm going to show you right here. We've got people in this church that are our spiritual parents to us, that love you, that love your kids, that love your children, that pray for you, that are there for you. And then we have kids in this church that, man, we're loving and we're trying to pour into. Why? Because they're like our kids, right? Man, I see these kids, and if anybody ever tried to come in off the street to get one of these kids, even though they're not my kid, don't you know it would be on? These are my kids too. And so we want to honor God, because in all things, when we honor each other and our parents, we honor God. And so I want to leave you guys with this as we're getting ready to go. If you're here today and something is weird and you're in that place where it just doesn't feel right and God's been pushing in on your heart, listen, I want you to remember, you don't want to leave church today without the Lord. You want to go out of here with the Lord inside of you. Take him everywhere you go. And I don't know, maybe it's been a submission issue for you lately. And there's been something where you haven't been submitting to. And God's like, listen, submit to that and you're going to have life. Or maybe you haven't been about your father's business and you've been spending time with all this other junk, dealing with people that aren't any good for you, wasting your time online, whatever it is, and you haven't been about your father's business, this is the time to say, Lord, I'm not going to leave without you today. Would you guys stand with me? I want to close this out in prayer. As we close out this morning, we want to remember that we don't want to leave without the Lord. It's so easy to do, church. It's so easy to do. But we want to leave church with the Lord today. If you're here today and maybe you've been backsliding and going crazy and don't know how to get back, it's easy. God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me shall find me. And you know what? When we turn to the Lord, we invite him in. He changes everything. We don't want to be like that church in Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, where it said they had endurance, they had hard work, they had patience, and God shows up, Jesus shows up in the middle of the church and he says, I've got this one thing against you. You're doing great, all this other stuff, but I got this one issue. And it's that you've left your first love. Repent, therefore, and go back and do those things that you once did. And if that's you here today, open your heart to the word of the Lord and let that go down in deep and take root. And just let's ask for forgiveness. So Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask for forgiveness of leaving you behind in certain places in our life, for not making your business our business, God, for maybe not submitting in areas in our life that you've been calling us to submit to. Lord, we repent. As your word says, we repent from those things and we turn back and we want to do those things that we once did before, that we may be pleasing to you, God, that we have a relationship with you, Lord. Not just going through the motions, not just religion, but relationship with you, Lord. We need you so bad. God, we thank you for loving us and forgiving us and being long-suffering with us, Jesus. And I just pray as we go out of this door, Lord, change our life. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.